Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, February 1st, 2015. Black History Month, you guys. We did it. We finished 1 month in 2015, and now we're at Black History Month. Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the... forgot the lyrics. Sing a song, la da da dee 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 doo doo doo. Oh, I forgot the lyrics, but you get where I'm going with this. It's a special time of year for everyone to reflect about the African Americans, the black people that were taken from bondage, the descendants of the people that were taken from their home in slavery. Yes, there were Africans that sold other Africans into slavery. That's fucked up. But they were taken from Africa and they were brought to the America that was taken from the Native Americans. And it's really bad. And slavery was bad. But they came out of that history, of that sordid, fucked up history, and now we're football players. And now, you know, it's fun, right? You got... that's fun. Yeah, so how are you guys going to celebrate? You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to, like, read about people like George Washington Carver, Madam C.J. Walker, Carter G. Woodson, Ralph Bunch, you know, Marcus Garvey? I could go on and on. Are you going to do that? Maybe it's time to reflect and learn about those people or relearn about those people. Or if you're white and you're on a field hockey or soccer team, are you going to dress up in blackface in your school uniforms and your team uniforms, and you're going to wear blackface and celebrate that way? I don't know if that was really celebrating, but it makes me think, because these kids did that. There's some actual kids that did this. Somebody posted, one of my Facebook friends posted it on Facebook, and they were just like, oh, can you believe this? The thing that shocked me about it was that they did it on January 31st. And it's like, are they pre-gaming for Black History Month? Should February also be the Blackface Olympics too? So are we going to have that now? I don't know. Stay tuned. Keep your ears peeled and your eyes focused on social media and see what happens. And you let me know, because I don't know. Is this a new thing? Because I thought, you know, I coined, and I've said this before, and I tweeted it, I've said it on this show, that at least in October, the fall season, the Halloween season, there we have the Blackface Olympics. And now I'm wondering, is that creeping over to Black History Month? I don't know. You be the judge. You let me know. It's also, on a lighter note, guys, it's also Super Bowl Sunday. And I would say that this is an unofficial national holiday. I mean, you don't really get the day off. It's a day. It's a dangerous one too, because you can get drunk on Sunday. You can party it up, and then you got to go to work unless you take that Monday off, you know. And you should be safe. You should be safe and take the necessary precautions. If you're out late, don't get crazy. Don't do it. I'm personally like, I don't think anybody I know is having a Super Bowl party or anything. I'm just going to stay home. I'm going to make some chicken wings, have some grape soda. And that's how I'm going to bring in Black History Month, the stereotypical way. And I am also, what else am I going to do? Yeah, I'm just going to watch the game. I'm hoping that Russell Wilson wins. You know, I'm a fan of black quarterbacks, and he would be the first to win two in a row. I'm excited. Now that I have a stake in the game, now that I have a horse in the race, I'm going to be pretty nervous. Sidebar. I fell asleep on my couch Friday night. I got home from doing shows at the Laughing Devil. Shout out to Patrick Milligan and, I don't know Christine's last name off the top of my head. Christine Marie Evans. Yes. Shout out to Patrick Milligan and Christine Marie Evans for having me at the Laughing Devil. Always a good time. I hosted two shows there. It was fun. That was fun. It was a good time. So I did those shows, got home. I want to say I got home around 1 o'clock and I went just watching TV. Then I just fell asleep on my couch, and I wake up around, I want to say 3 or 4 o'clock, and I'm hearing all this yelling on the screen, like, and I didn't leave the TV on softcore porn or Skinamax or anything like that. What I woke up to was the Australian Open Finals Championship with Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova. And I was watching this, and I know, like, I think I might have been talking about this last week, how my parents are obsessed with Venus and Serena. And I'm watching this, and it was close. Serena obviously won. It was just so nerve-wracking. Like, when you want somebody to win, like what I was talking about black athletes last week, and they're playing these sports that are predominantly white, that has predominantly white participation, and you still kind of carry some of that stuff, like, Lord, we got to win this for the race. You're not winning it for the race, but she's winning, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got to kind of got a anytime you, if you're betting on a game, I think whether you're betting on a game or you're rooting for somebody because they're in your family or they're whatever reason you have to root for a team, it's, some people would say it's more fun to watch. To me, it's a little, I have a lot of anxiety in these things, which is why I really don't watch American Idol, The Voice, Models Inc. What the fuck is the Fat Project Runway or whatever that show is where Tyra Banks yells at the young models? I did it better than you. You know, when she, you know, does that shit, like, I can't watch those because it's too nerve wracking. So I did watch it, and Serena eventually won, but it was such a close match. And then I said, oh my God, I don't know how my parents do this. And they're older than me, and I think they'd get more stressed out than I would. And I was just like, oh my God. And I actually talked to my mom later that morning. I said, you know, God, I don't know how you guys do that, because it's nerve-wracking, you know? Back to the Super Bowl. But I'm glad she won. She won, what, 19? She's won 19 major championships, and she broke, that's record-breaking. So I think she broke Chris Everett's record, and now she tied Chris Everett, and then I think Steffi Graf has 22. So that'll be great if she can get that, but I think either way, she'll be one of the greatest tennis players, man or woman, to ever play. And, you know, like, now Tiger Woods is obviously in a decline. He missed the cut, which is sad. Like, it is sad, but I think, you know, I do feel bad for him. I know he was out there hoeing with the girls from Shoney's and Perkins or wherever he, whatever friendlies or wherever he was getting these girls. Some of those girls, like, I don't. All right, I'm gonna not say what I was thinking about saying. So he had his, you know, he got exposed like what six or seven years ago. He hasn't really been the same. But he's still been the top golfer in the game. Like, he's still been killing it. But he just hasn't been winning the majors like everybody wanted him to, everybody expected. So, like, I was watching, I think, Wednesday night on SportsCenter. Rick Riley does these, you know, pieces, these segments about, you know, players, and they play the music. Could Tiger lose if he loses? He'll never be the same, and we won't give a fuck about him, because it was very snarky. Like, this man didn't win. And I think last year or 2 years ago, I broke down all the wins that Tiger had. Like, when I think Sergio Garcia was trying to talk shit about Tiger, you know, and like, they were just like, oh, maybe some chicken. Oh, fuck. Whatever the fuck. And I was just like, yo, this dude is still one of the greatest if he never wins another tournament, he's still one of the greatest golfers to ever play the game. He's the reason people paid attention to golf in the last, what, 15, 16 years? When did he come on? Like, maybe like 90, 96, 97 when he started winning. So that's almost 20 years of just like being really good and dominating a sport. To just, I mean, it's amazing. So I don't know. Part of me does feel bad, because I want them to break all the records. I want them to break all the records, and I think it would be dope. But we'll see. I mean, only time will tell. And if he doesn't win, he's still one of the greatest to ever play that sport. It's amazing. So I hope he comes back. He's out of the top 50 since the first time. Like, I guess, like, since in a long time. So yeah, all right. I really segued on. I was talking about the Super Bowl. I was talking about the Super Bowl. What else did I want to say? You know, one thing about the Super Bowl I get annoyed by. There's one thing where it's like, oh my God, like, all the coverage, it's just so much. It's so ridiculous. I'm going to have to watch some movies or something before the games. But it was before the game. They were just like, you get these interviews where it's, what's your favorite color? What do you, on a rainy day, what do you like to do? Like, if you can't go outside, you have your favorite snacks. What are your favorite snacks? What are the movies you watch, and what do you do? Well, I mean, I like to watch fried green tomatoes, and I like to have potato skins. Maybe if I don't have potato skins, I like to have nachos. Maybe some Skittles, you know, maybe something like that, or some ice cream. It just depends on what kind of mood I'm in. You know, if I like to get in a better, peppier mood, you know, I'll probably watch, you know, Bring It On. But sometimes if it's dreary outside, I might throw on a VHS copy of Women of Brewster Place. You know, I might just do that. And then, like, I just stop right before the kid is going to electrocute herself in a socket, where she sticks the knife or fork in a socket. I stop right before that, because I don't want to get too sad, you know. But other than that, that's kind of what I do. Okay, well, we'll be right back, you guys. You know, like, they have those stories. It's just like, do we really give a... Like, I don't really give a shit. I just want to see the game. I guess when I was a little nerdier as a sports fan, I would watch all of that stuff. But now it's just like, give me the game. Let's see some of the commercials. Let's see what they do. Let's see how is a Dorito gonna fuck a Pepsi can? What's gonna Oh my God, I'm sorry. What's gonna happen? You know, you never know how close are they gonna get to showing a titty on Super Bowl Sunday? Like after Justin Timberlake just threw Janet Jackson under the bus like 8 years ago or however long that was, almost 10 or 12 years ago now, I guess. Like, she's never really been the same after that, man. Like, she's never, if you really think about it, Janet Jackson has not been the same since that Super Bowl shit. And Justin Timberlake just, you know, he's been in movies. He's dropped albums, on tour with Jay-Z. And just, like, this motherfucker, he's just killing it, man. And Janet Jackson, nothing, man. I don't remember. I don't know. What has she done? If you think about it, what has Janet Jackson done since Titty Gate? Like, you get these watered-down halftime shows now. I mean, Prince did good. I mean, you know what I'm saying, though. Like, what has happened since Janet Jackson had, you know, how come her career hasn't taken off? You know, how come it's stagnated? And why is just, like, he about to have a baby with Jessica Biel? Like, he's killing it at life. Like, he's really multiple appearances on SNL. Just speaking of SNL, how about D'Angelo last night? What the fuck, dude? He killed it. I actually understood a lot of the lyrics that he had, that he said. I still haven't cracked open the liner notes of his album yet. But I know that it's a great album, but it's just like, what the fuck is D'Angelo saying? It sounds really good. He's amazing. I'd love to see him in concert. I'd love to see him live. Yeah, let's think about that. Really think about it. What has Janet Jackson done since Titty Gate? And it's funny because all the commercials will try to show, you know, like a girl, some hot blonde, like some Kate Upton knockoff jerking off a cheeseburger. And all of this stuff is a beer gonna, you know, inseminate some Skittles or some weird shit that's gonna happen? Maybe they'll show some new movie trailers. That'll be fun. But we'll see. That's part of the Super Bowl. That's what it's about. And I don't know, man. Like, and somebody on Facebook said, what is somebody said that, Idina Menzel, I can't wait till Sunday to watch Idina Menzel open for Katy Perry and then all the commercials. Like that's a fun, creative way to like say like, oh, I don't really watch the Super Bowl. I don't really care about it. But overall, most people really do get into it. And it's one of those times where it's like an official holiday. Like it's a really good time, and I'm excited. I hope Russell Wilson gets this second Super Bowl. And you know, and in Black history, it didn't happen in Well, fuck it, it's still Black history. 27 years ago from yesterday, the 31st of January. Excuse me, Doug Williams won the Super Bowl. He was the first Black quarterback to win the Super Bowl, and it's a beautiful thing. I remember being, I guess I was 8 years old. I'll be 35 this year. Well, you guys get it. It's a long time ago, and he did it. And let's hope Russell Wilson gets his second Super Bowl. I'm going to try not to be stressed out. Oh my God. All right, guys, this is episode 104 of the Mundane Festival podcast. I didn't tell you, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. You can, if you like the show, you can rate and review it on iTunes and Stitcher. Let everybody know why you like it. Give it a 5-star review and it makes me feel good about myself and my life choices. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. You can like it on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, Chris Lamberth, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. So there's a bunch of things that I want to blab about today, and we'll see where we get with that. Snowpocalypse 2015, or shall I say snow not apocalypse, right, guys? Yeah, you know, everybody, we thought this was going to be the end of the world, and it wasn't. And I would say better safe than sorry. I mean, if it's snowing really bad outside, we started getting it on Monday, and it kept going. I made sure I went to the grocery store on Monday. Got a couple things. It wasn't too bad. Everybody had taken all of the bread. I'm not really a bread guy anymore, even though like I eat like a fat guy. You know, I eat pizza and cheeseburgers, but I don't really have a lot of like bread at home. In house, if you will. It wasn't too bad. You know, I made some spaghetti. I made pasta sauce, homemade from scratch. As far as the tomatoes were canned, crushed tomatoes, and the sauce is in a can. But it's a recipe that a former coworker gave me, and it works. It's pretty fucking good, you guys. It's like I'm a fucking Italian the way I cook it, you know, like fucking the gravy, you know, it's pretty fucking good. So I did that on Monday. Got Tuesday was off, so I just chilled, took it easy, got the ice and snow off my car, and it wasn't bad. Now they say we're gonna get some again tomorrow. They say we're gonna get warnings. They say we're gonna get more snow and ice, and it's just living in the Northeast. That's pretty much how it goes. Like last year wasn't too bad. I say at my job, we usually get, if it's really bad, there's usually just been like 2 days a year that, you know, they account for just snow days, maybe 2 to 3. And it is what it is. But people were upset that it wasn't bad. Like they were upset with the government because they shut down all the roads. There was like a curfew. Can't be out on the road past 11 o'clock. I mean, I had to cancel a gig on Saturday. I told you guys about that. I wasn't going to die in that shit. If you don't have to be on the roads, don't be on the roads. And I noticed that because people weren't on the roads were clear. The roads were like the Department of Transportation. They got the roads salted and sanded. And the next day at work, like that Tuesday, that Wednesday, it was fine. Like the roads were pretty good. But then you still have people that drive like jackasses. And that's fucking crazy because you still have the black ice. And anybody that has parents that care about them and that just worry, like because they don't have, if they're retired, they don't have shit else to worry about. So they don't, like, instead of, like, you know, they don't, like, focus on hating their spouse. They can just, like, focus on you not dying in a car accident where it's like, don't be careful around that black ice now. Getting texts and stuff from them like, did you die? You okay? And it just kind of makes you even more like, I'm going to be, like, in the questions, like, I can do this. And I try not to be right. The worst thing is just, is the other people, the people that are jackasses that drive around and they drive crazy. It's like they fucking speed up when there's traffic. I mean, if you commute to work every day and you drive on a whatever highway you're driving on, and it's just so, it's because I get to work about 7 o'clock, and it's that's early. and I'm on the road by 6. So that's a time where, yes, there can be a little bit of traffic, but it's not that bad. And it's not that serious to be trying to drive to work and get there super fast. And, you know, like, you get there when you get there and you put your work in, you do put your time in, and then you leave. But this going like 80 miles an hour, trying to run over people, I don't get it. There was a bad accident on the westbound. I think it was on the westbound side of the highway that I drive on, and it was on the bridge. It's like a tractor trailer and just cars just fucked up. And it's like, it had to have happened. This may have happened at like 6:30 in the morning. And it's like, what were you doing? What was the rush for you to just ruin traffic? Now, sometimes things happen and you can't control it. But a lot of that, you have control over some of this shit, man. And you're trying to cut off. It looked like the car was trying to cut off a tractor trailer with a Mack truck with two trailers behind it. And it was just, oh, and I don't think anybody died or anything, but it didn't look good. And it's just like, oh my God, just, guys, just be safe out there. I mean, just be safe, you guys. There's no need to try to kill each other to get to your TPS reports and your cubicles. Take your time. Listen to a podcast like mine, like the Mundane Festival. Take your time. Leave early enough so you're not rushing. You know? And sometimes it happens. You might be late for work, but just be careful out there, folks, in this winter weather. My God. Yeah, that shit sucks, but there's nothing. It's kind of annoying when your parents, I don't know, my parents are just like, oh, black ice and you're going to die. You could die. They're just always reminding you that you can die. Like, that's just like, ugh, don't remind me of that shit. Mom. All right. What else? Big news in the movie world. They're doing all female Ghostbusters reboot, and I don't know. I think so. Who's going to be in this? Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones from SNL, and Kate McKinnon from SNL. So you got one SNL vet in Kristen Wiig and Leslie, and two current cast members, and Melissa McCarthy. I think it's got the potential to be really funny and good. The issue that I have with this is that people, I don't know, I guess people make these straw man arguments where it's like nobody, there's some people that obviously don't like the fact that they're remaking the movie, doing a reboot for the movie. I can see that. It's like Hollywood doesn't have people out there with original ideas. They're afraid of the original ideas, and they're more comfortable. They feel like going with reboots and titles that people already know. They're more comfortable with that to invest money in. And I understand that, but I think you're limiting all the creative people that you have, in the industry. That's one thing. And then there's people that are saying, all the men that don't like female Ghostbusters can blah, 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 and meh, 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 meh. I don't think there's that many people out there. I think there's people that are just pissed that there's a new fucking Ghostbusters. I don't think people would like anybody remaking the thing. Now, you got the guy that made Bridesmaids, and you got... Well, Paul Feig directed, and I think he co-wrote, but Kristen Wiig wrote Bridesmaids, and that was a smash hit. That was a good, really good movie. We'll see what happens. They're trying to recapture this magique, if you will. So I'll go see it, because it's gonna be in the conversation. It's what people are talking about. My only thing is, what the fuck? I got neighbors. Most of the time, my apartment complex is pretty quiet. And then on Sundays, people are just like acting like fucking idiots. I don't know. I don't get why they're doing that, but they do. And it's just fucking, it's stupid. Somebody this morning was calling their wife or girlfriend a bitch. It's just like, bitch, bitch. And it was just weird. I mean, this isn't Newark. I mean, all right, so let me see. What did I say? I posed the question, and only a few people. You know how when you ask a question on Facebook and people just like it? Like, you're trying to start a dialogue, but then people are just liking your status. And or sometimes they just don't get. They don't really get what you're trying to ask. So my thing is, while everybody was trying to argue and blog about what they thought about the fucking female Ghostbusters and shit, J.L. Covan called this like months ago, where he said that they were going to do an all-female Ghostbusters. But he, you know, he thought Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and maybe some other people. But I think he might have gotten Melissa McCarthy in there. Speaking of J.L. Covan, check me out on his current latest episode of the Righteous Prick podcast. We did an episode where we debated hip hop. Well, really debated was Kendrick Lamar overrated? JL, obviously, who doesn't know anything about rap music in the present day. He just knows that he likes Biggie. And now he read a couple blogs or somebody told him who was good. And he's just like that. And I'm smart enough to know that while I do know a little bit about rap, the rappity rap, I don't know shit. So just take me knowing what I know about rap music, the little that I know about it, JL knows way less than I do. So we debate that, and he doesn't understand the appeal of Kendrick Lamar. I told him before the Grammys that the guy was amazing. And even before then, Kendrick's a terrific, he's a terrific rapper, and he's one of the best. And he's ended up in a lot of people's top five and hasn't been around that long. Maybe like a little less than 10 years. I mean, that's seven. Whenever he was K-Dot, and that had to be 2 or 3 years before Overly Dedicated came out. Overly Dedicated may have been 2010 if the Kendrick Lamar EP was 2009. Most of you hip-hop nerds know that Kendrick's awesome. And there's other awesome guys out there, too. But I digress. So check that episode out. It's fun. We have a good time on that one. Okay, so I asked, okay, since they're doing, I posed a question on Facebook, and I said, which female artist should cover Bobby Brown's On Our Own from Ghostbusters 2 or write a song in the same vein? So when I think about Ghostbusters, because as a kid, I remember loving the Ghostbusters. I mean, they had the cartoon, they had the toys, like this, the my cousins and I used to make up the house. We used to make sets and used to go through the house like we were Ghostbusters. And it was fun. We used to have that. We had all the toys, like the, there was one where it was a photon pack thingy. I think it was like a gun, and you could project the ghost on there. There were so many cool toys back then. And like we had so many fucking toys, man. The action figures were awesome. All of that stuff. And then they had the knockoff Ghostbusters. Yeah, man. They had, because the other song was like, uh-oh, Ghostbusters, something, let's go, or some shit. I don't know. But anyway, one of the things that I really remember taking away from those movies was Bobby Brown's song, On Our Own. And too hot to handle, too cold to hold. They call the Ghostbusters in the air control. Like that shit, man. Like that was the shit. Bobby Brown was the shit. So that song was really dope. I'm thinking they have to have a song of that caliber on the soundtrack. That has to be like the lead single. Who does that? The first person to come in my head was Nicki Minaj. And I think she's popular enough. She's talented enough to do it. And I think she could do it because she could sing. Whatever it is, she can sing and she can rap. So I'm thinking her. And then Neruda Williams of the Three Negroes podcast, he says Nicki Minaj. And I agree. And I said, you know, that's the only other person with the chops to do it. She'd be perfect. Then one of my buddies from theater school says Ariana Grande, but it has to be a mashup of Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters featuring Pharrell. Ellipses, mic drop. And I was like, no. And I said, bleep, person from acting school. It should be a woman by herself, though. Bobby did it alone. And then he said she would be by herself. All right. Changed my mind. Scratch that. Ariana sings all the songs. All the song. Killer Mike from Run the Jewels does the rappy part. I'm like, dude, no. It has to be a chick doing it by herself. And then he writes, am I too white for this game? In my defense, I love On Our Own and had the cassette single. I gotta like that. I forgot to like that. I said, you're not too white. Ariana Grande could definitely be on the soundtrack, but I don't think she beats out Nicki. And then somebody, one of the professors from theater school said, shouldn't we save On Our Own for the sequel since it was in Ghostbusters 2? I'm proposing Usher and Little John remake the original Ghostbusters theme. Or maybe Mary J. Blige with a riff in the middle by Missy Elliott. See, nobody. Then somebody says Dark Horse, Emile Sandé or Janelle Monáe. Throws up hand. I actually like Janelle Monáe doing it. Another guy says, Keisha Cole, enough said. Another guy, voice of reason, says, Nicki Minaj, Mark James Heath, who's a comic out of Canada, Toronto, I think. And so, so I think Janelle Monáe could actually, you know, you could actually do Janelle Monáe or Nicki Minaj. Now that I think about it, either one of them could do it because they're both pretty popular. But Nicki Minaj is the most popular. Yeah, so we got a little bit of a conversation going on that junk, young, you know, but on Twitter, nobody gave a fuck. That's funny how that happens sometimes. And then Shug Knight's in the news. He ran over his best friend by accident a few nights ago, last week. He was running away, trying to get away from somebody, and then ran over one of his friends. And now you got all these Suge Knight jokes, and people are just getting these tweets off, these Facebook posts just fucking eviscerating Suge Knight. And it's like, yo, like I'm kind of afraid to do that, because like this guy, he was like the most fearful. What is it? He's somebody who's feared by a lot of people, man. Like, it's a scary ass dude. And they say that he dangled Vanilla Ice from a hotel balcony. And, Vanilla Ice, I don't think he was the same. Like, nothing was the same after that. And like, now he's doing makeover shows where he's like putting tile down in people's houses and shit. So it's like, he doesn't fucking rap anymore because of what Suge Knight did, you know? And people are just getting these jokes off, man. It's like, yo, he ended somebody's career by dangling him off a hotel balcony, allegedly. It's just like, I don't feel comfortable with that shit. Still don't. So yeah, female Ghostbusters, I think it'll be fine. And if you don't like it, hey, just watch the originals and enjoy that, because it's still there. There's still archival footage. There's still DVDs and videos and artifacts of those fucking movies. And even people said, like, the second one didn't live up to the hype. And that was, what, 5 years later or something like that. So, you know, people are going to do these things because they're going to dip into that well, man, because they're afraid to put out original shit. So, you know, what can you do? What are you going to do? What can you do? You know? Let's see. Let's talk about some movies, you guys. I went to the movies on Friday. I saw Project Almanac because it fit the time before the shows that I had at the Laughing Devil. I went down to Queens. Laughing Devil is in Long Island City, which is essentially Astoria. It's just essentially Queens. And so I went to the movie theater there, the Regal, United Artists Kaufman Studios. And that theater is fucking expensive. Those tickets were $14.50. I got upsized on the popcorn. And I bought a smart water, and I paid $13. The smart water was like $5.75. I was like, fuck. But they do have a rewards card, but I don't know how much that I'm going to go there because I have got an AMC that's like minutes away from my apartment. So, but I have the rewards card, but that shit is expensive. So I had to spend like $30 on a movie ticket and concessions. Like that was no joke, you guys. That was really expensive, you guys. Project Almanac, why don't I read you a synopsis? Let's see where the best way that I could, I'll go to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they say. Cause I don't want to, cause Wikipedia has the whole fucking story up. What did they rate it? They rated it, got a 36% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's unfair. I think that's fucking unfair. And they didn't deserve that. And you shouldn't have given it to them like that. This is and that's why it came out in January. I think it was supposed to come out last year, and they shelved it for a bit. Because I remember seeing the Oh my goodness, you guys. Wow. I remember seeing the trailer for this a while ago. All right, so here we go. A brilliant high school student and his friends uncover blueprints for a mysterious device with limitless potential, inadvertently putting lives in danger. So you could essentially call, this is another one of those found footage films, which is a genre in and of itself. The best that I've seen would be Chronicle. That's easily one of my favorite movies of the last 5 years or so. And I know if you listen to this podcast, you'll hear me say, this movie, you guys, is one of my most favorites of all time. Let's see, Chronicle. I think that was 2012, I think. It had to be 2012. Yes, I was right. February 3rd, 2012, another Super Bowl weekend movie about a socially awkward introverted teen whose main form of escape and expression is a video camera. But things happen when Andrew, his cousin Matt, and popular classmate Steve discover a mysterious substance that leaves them with incredible powers. As their abilities become more powerful, the teens' lives spin out of control when their darker sides begin to emerge. Andrew's camera captures the unfolding events. This shit, homie. This is really good. This movie got 85% on Rotten Tomatoes and 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb. I really like that movie. And I said, you know, this shit is Chronicle too, young. This shit is Chronicle too. And it kind of was. I mean, they're dealing with time travel. And you get to the point where it's like, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do this, try to do these good things and try to like do these small little things that makes life better. And then you get a little too greedy. You start wanting a little more. And then that's when things go haywire. This movie, I thought it was really fun to watch. And I actually saw this movie with a bunch of teenagers in Queens, and it was fun. The girls were cute, and I think the lead chick is 23, so I'm not a creep. I looked at her age. I thought this movie was fun. The ending was kind of like, because there's a part where I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Because this is one of those movies, I would say go see this movie at a matinee. Go see it like on a Saturday early show before 12 o'clock or wherever it is in your town. If you live in South Carolina or you live in the South, like you can see this shit any time of day and you won't have to pay for $14.20. Like I would say this is a matinee movie. Go see it. You'll have a good time. There's a little left to be desired. Some of the critics are a little too hard on it. It's easy to see the holes in it. The movie kind of, and it just, but it's a fun ride. 'Cause if you're tired of the Oscar movies, like if you don't want to see like Selma, if that's too like heavy, look, we gonna get these people, we gonna vote now. We gonna vote now. Whiplash is actually fucking awesome. Birdman's fun. If you've seen all of those movies and you want to just see something that doesn't stress you out, you just want to have a good time, it's a good popcorn movie. Like, it was a perfect movie for me because it was like, I'm getting off of work. I'm starting my weekend with this movie. It's going to be fun. I got to, you know, doing some it's just one of those movies like, oh man, I want to go to the movie. I want to have a good time. I think you will enjoy Project Almanac. Don't do like I did. If you can help it, don't pay, $14 for the ticket. Other than that, man, it's a good popcorn movie. It'll probably be one of those movies where after you see it, you'll probably like it. If you do like it, it'll be one of those movies where it's like, I gotta watch this when it's on TV. I'm gonna watch it. This movie right now is last year's That Awkward Moment. For me, That Awkward Moment, there was no sci-fi shit, but low key, that's like a sleeper. That's like a sleeper hit. It's not a sleeper hit. It's just one of those movies that's just like, it's a good movie. Like there's a couple holes in that. I think I was talking about this with Michael Felder from the Bleacher Report, friend of the podcast. I think it might have been me, him, and somebody else talking about it on Twitter like a month or so ago, a couple months ago. And we're just saying like, how do you take this motherfucker back after your dad dies? I know, you know, you haven't been dating that long, but you did meet this guy. Zac Efron meets this girl's dad, has a good time with him. That girl's dad dies. He doesn't go to the funeral. And he's just like, oh, I'm just going through some shit. And then she just takes him back at the end of the fucking movie. Like, that's some bullshit. And I don't want to go too deep within Project Almanac, but you kind of have you kind of have, it's, you kind of look at some parts and be like, this is some bullshit when it comes to like relationship stuff. But yeah, like I would put it in that category of you're not expecting too much from this, from the movie, but you end up enjoying it. It's one of those movies. So I would say Project Almanac, I liked it. Just don't pay a lot of money. You could wait. You could wait for Redbox. But if you want to see something that's not too heavy-handed and you just want to see a popcorn movie, this would be the one to see. Because right now, what I want to see that's in theaters right now, I would have liked to have seen A Most Violent Year, but that was not playing at the time that I needed it to be playing in order for me to see that and make it to my show on time. When you're the, when you're hosting a show, like, you can't, there's no wiggle room. Like, I'm a slave to that start time, man. Cause I'm a real nerd about that stuff, you guys. I watched quite a few movies. I want to say I saw this movie on Netflix called Fort Bliss with Michelle Monaghan, and I did. I had the okay, yes, I did. This movie came was a 2014 film about a decorated U.S. Army medic. She returns from Afghanistan, returns home from Afghanistan to Texas, and struggles to rebuild a relationship with her young son. That's basically what, that's essentially all this movie is about. And if you were into American Sniper, and it's not, you don't get that violence. You do get one cringeworthy scene. It's on Netflix. It's worth seeing. I like Michelle Monaghan. She's really good in it. And it's just one of those, like, and it happens to be a woman. She's coming home from the war, and she's just trying to deal with shit and her kid. And it's funny because his kid's 5 years old, and he acts like he doesn't know, like he don't know his mother for shit. And so she's got to rebuild from like ground zero of that shit. And then things happen. It's got a good cast. It's got, so Michelle Monaghan's in it. Emmanuel Shiriki from Entourage mainly. And she played the chick in, what's that Usher movie where he's like some kind of like bodyguard or some shit like that. What was that movie? Oh my God. I was going to try to go back to the, it's called, it was like one of those it was like a Miramax movie, like a Dimension movie, when they used to put a lot of like black actors in, like The Faculty. Usher was in The Faculty. He might have had a deal with them at the time, but they put out those movies that were geared towards young people. Like you had In Too Deep. What the fuck was the name of this movie, man? I know where it, I know I'm not crazy. Where, oh, where is it? I've gone down a rabbit hole. Oh, she was in Unscripted too? Really? Holy shit. Oh my God, man. I probably should have looked up Usher. Because Emmanuel Shiriki, she was really, she was killing it for a while, and she did Entourage, but she never went over the edge as like being like one of those really hot chicks. Like, she's really hot, but she never got to that next level. Jesus, what's the name of this movie, man? I'm gonna find the name of this shit. In the Mix. Yes, In the Mix. Okay. What's the premise? What's the plot of this? Because this was on TV for a while. A successful DJ manages to rescue a powerful mobster one night In order to repay him, the mobster gives him the task of protecting his daughter. So, Usher in the mix. Yeah, so Emmanuel Shiriki. She's still bad, though. She's in that. Yeah, man. So that's a solid. It's a solid Netflix choice. I gave you something on Netflix. Also, want to say, I should cue this up too. Jim Tews, friend of the podcast, he was on the show. I want to say sometime he was on the show last summer, and I talked to him in the car. We talked about his documentary that he made. It's called Make Fun, and that's now available to stream and download on a website. And if I find the website, I can tell you what it is. Make Fun. Is it makefunmovie.com? And it's a documentary about building a comedy scene, the comedy scene that he helped build in Cleveland, Ohio. And it's really good. You can listen to us talk about it on the podcast, and I'll even do as much as tell you which episode it is. I'll go back and look through the episodes and tell you which one it's on. Whichever one I could go back. Every time, like I always say this, every time I'm doing it, I'll be like, I'm gonna tell you what it is, and then it takes me a while to actually pull up the thing that I want to pull up. So I know I had a. Jim was on episode 82, and that was in August. So it says Chris is joined by comedian Jim Tews. They talk about paranoia with technologies, Rust Belt cities, and supportive parents. So we talked a bunch about his movie, and it's really good. I bought it. If you can buy that new Louis special, which I always live at the Comedy Store, I bought that. It's good. If you're a Louis fan, Jim Tews was also on an episode of Louis last season. I'm just saying, man, I know talented people, man. I know talented people. They put shit out into the universe and for you to consume, and it doesn't cost a lot of money. It's the cost of an extra value meal at your local fast food place. It's less than a burrito from Chipotle, and you can have it forever. You can have it on your phone. You can I downloaded it and put it on my PlayStation. And it's really good. It's just one of those documentaries that's like really fun to watch, you know, and it's not fucking depressing. There's stand up, there's interviews, and it's really good. It's about people making the comedy scene and kind of, you know, just making something essentially out of nothing. When nothing was there, they put something there. It's inspiring to watch, and it's really fucking good. So check that out if you're into that sort of thing. I am, and I think if you're listening to a podcast like this one, you probably would be interested in it. If you're interested in comedy and all that stuff, I think you would like it. Lastly, and I think we'll get out of here. I think we'll get out of here after this. I may have mentioned this on the show last week, and I'm not 100% sure because I had some. In all honesty, I recorded two podcasts last week because one I recorded. And I recorded it and I finished and I was like, you know what? I don't know if I want to put that one out. I just wasn't feeling it. I just kind of feel like, it wasn't a shitty episode, but I would say it was a lost episode. So I don't know if I mentioned it. I know I mentioned it on that one, but I did the one that I didn't put out, but I'm not sure if I mentioned this in episode 103. There's this new podcast out. It's one of my favorite podcasts, my favorite new podcast called Denzel Washington is the Greatest Actor of All Time, period. And it's hosted by W. Kamau Bell and Kevin Avery, two comedians. They used to have a podcast called Siskel and Negro. And now this podcast is just strictly dedicated to Denzel Washington movies. And they talk about one Denzel Washington movie and they rate it on a scale of like all of Denzel's movies and not to anything else. And so I like just after listening to that podcast, I've just been like the past couple of weeks, I've been watching Denzel movies and I've been going through my collection and just watching them. Like I watched Crimson Tide. What else did I watch? Courage Under Fire. I watched a couple days ago, Devil in a Blue Dress. And yesterday I watched The Equalizer. And full disclosure on The Equalizer, I did see it like the first night it came out, but because I'm older, because I'm old, and because I work long hours and I get up, I went to see that movie on a Thursday night because I was so excited, and I dozed off a few times during that movie, and like I was like, yeah, it was good, but I just kind of don't remember everything. So I bought this movie. I ordered it from eBay, and it came in this week. And I watched it, and it's just like he's such a fucking badass. So like that podcast basically inspired me. Like I was already going to get The Equalizer, but I got it at a pretty decent price on eBay, and I bought The Book of Eli also on eBay, and that came in. They both came in this week. And so I'm watching The Equalizer, and I knew it was a good movie and I enjoyed it. And I was talking about it with Fonte a couple weeks ago, and just the ass that he kicked in this movie was just so like awesome. And I just like noticed, like you can just tell like different nuances when he beats the shit out of somebody or he kills somebody. First of all, he does it without a gun. And it's that close range, like combat, like when he goes to the Russian mob restaurant or wherever, and he's in the room and like, he's like, I'm giving you this $9,000 and change to take to not rape or to not like molest. What's the girl? Chloe Moretz. And they're like, no, fuck you. And then there's skulls on his desk, on the bad Russian guy's desk. And there's like four of them or something. And Denzel like pushes one to that guy, one to the guy at the desk, one to the others around and like, so forth. And it's like, he's basically saying, I'm fucking killing all of you motherfuckers. And it's just like, it's so dope. And then he has like this, like when somebody said, like when he senses danger, I didn't notice this before, but like he starts staring at the person and the screen just kind of goes like, not as like super like, not as ostentatious as Uma Thurman in Kill Bill when they had that cue where it's like, dun, dun, rah, rah, rah. You know what I'm talking about? Like when they do that, it's not as ostentatious as that, but it's just like, and like he gets this like spidey sense type thing, and it's so fucking good. And like he, like it's just a good movie, and it's kind of like, I didn't realize how much of a feel good movie it was, like when he was helping the fat guy become a security guard, and like that made me feel good because I'm fat, and like he the guy had the uniform on and he like fucking did it and shit, and Denzel was like, yeah, it wasn't like, yeah, I fucking helped you. He was just like, this is good, this is a good thing that I'm doing. And it's just like, it's really good. I kind of got to see more of the, I guess, I don't know, like the underlying themes, and it just, like, how it made me feel some kind of way emotionally. And then he was like beating the shit out of people in these nice button-downed shirts. Like, for most, like, the shirts weren't flashy, but they looked good. Like, I would buy those shirts. Like, I like those shirts. They were like Stafford, like these kicking people's asses in Jay Riggins casual, like, button-down shirts. Like, fucking, it was awesome. And he didn't break a sweat. And it's just like, yeah, I'm kicking your ass in this Men's Warehouse shirt, non-wrinkle-free. And just like, it was awesome. So I really enjoyed that again. I might have to watch that again, like in the near future. Like, sometimes I buy a movie and I watch it and kind of put it away, but I'm gonna have to go back to that. And then I watched, Book of Eli, and this is dumb idiot Chris. I don't know what was wrong with me. I had seen this movie before. Movies, like, it's about five years old. And I just, like, I got it, but I didn't. It's just one of those, oh, I'm going to watch this movie. And I that was another one. Like, I just dozed off a few times. Or I don't know what the fuck my problem was. This Book of Eli is fucking amazing. And so, like, I was listening to the Denzel Washington podcast. The Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time, period, podcast. And I was just like, okay, I gotta go back to this movie, man. What the fuck is my problem? So I ordered it on eBay. I ordered the collector's edition, like, they, you know, the kind that they put in a tin. And just for those of you that haven't seen Book of Eli, I'll read you the back of the Blu-ray thingy. Here we go. Eli walks alone in post-apocalyptic America, carrying the last copy of a book that could become the wellspring of a revived society, or, in the wrong hands, the hammer of a despot. Eli keeps his blade sharp and survival instinct sharper, navigating a savage wasteland and coming into conflict with the menacing warlord Gary Oldman. The Hughes brothers from Menace to Society direct. Excuse me. My God. This movie is fucking amazing. And for those of you that have seen it, see it again, because, oh my God, like, aesthetically, it looked fucking amazing. The acting was really good. Denzel was good. And I'm not gonna spoil, if you haven't seen it, I'm not gonna spoil the ending of it, but it was so good. Like, the fighting in this, it was really, like, slick and clean and swift. It wasn't drawn out. There wasn't all these fucking moves. And again, Denzel, he used the blade, but he didn't really use his gun that much. It was like, I think it was like a character thing. And I was looking at the behind the scenes stuff, footage on both of those, the Equalizer and the Book of Eli, is pretty similar. Like, where, oh, he doesn't want to use the gun. And he didn't use the gun in the Equalizer, but he used it a little bit in the Book of Eli, but it's a thing, like, when he's killing people, for the most part, it's like some up close shit. And he had the Bible verse in the Book of Eli when he's about to fuck everybody up in the bar. Oh my God, it's so good. And then, like, the Kevin Avery, and I gotta try to get Kevin Avery on the show, like, maybe somewhere down the line. I'm not going to promise you anything. He's in the city because he's a writer for the John Oliver show. I shouldn't even have said that out loud. Like, I'm going to try to get him on the show. Then you guys will be like, where the fuck is Kevin? And you said you were going to. All right. I've said too much already. But I'm going to make a run at it. Yeah, like, they mentioned on the show that they should make a sequel of this, but have Mila Kunis in the sequel. Cause she was on some shit. Like when you see her at the end of the movie, I'll just say, like, the movie's fucking 5 years old. But if you see her at the movie, you're like, oh shit, they could definitely make a sequel to this. And the way that they constructed this movie from inception, like from script to screen, they even did a graphic novel. They had some guys that were from the graphic novel world do the storyboards and all this stuff. And it's so cool. And I was thinking about this and just seeing this ever since. I mean, I played The Last of Us, I start looking at movies that are kind of like this and thinking like, man, there's no excuse for them to get this wrong, to get The Last of Us wrong, because there's so many movies out there that let me know that they can execute this shit really well. And I don't think Naughty Dog will fuck it up. I don't think Neil Druckmann will allow anybody to fuck it up. But I'm watching this movie and I'm just thinking like, yo, like they could really... it, because there's definitely a Joel Ellie thing going on between Denzel and Mila Kunis. Even though Mila Kunis's character is a lot older than Ellie, but you could definitely see those similarities. And it just looks aesthetically, it looks so good the way that they shot this movie. And you could tell like when they make, cause what is it? Is it the Iron Horse Cinema? I think I may have told you guys about that, like, last year when I finished The Last of Us. There's a, if you just look up The Last of Us fan film on YouTube, it'll be there. And I believe it is Iron Horse Cinema. And for them to do what they did, and I'm assuming they didn't, I'm just going to really assume that they didn't have as much money as they're probably going to have to make this feature, and they made that shit look good. I mean, that just makes me so excited to see what they do with this Last of Us movie. Cause it's one of those things where you can, it's got the True Grit element, The Road, which I haven't seen like that, but that is like the Cormac McCarthy novel that they turned into a film. And I mean, though, it's not like The Last of Us is like that story hasn't been told yet. You know, it's got similarities, but I just think the way that that game was done, and then if they go with the film, like I don't think they can really. There's no excuse. Like I think I might turn into a nerd about this if they fuck it up. But I can tell by like movies that I've seen since I've played The Last of Us that they can do a great job at it. And I think Gary Oldman, I know they're not going to do this, but Gary Oldman could play a great David. When Fonte was on, we said Joaquin Phoenix can do it, but just like physically, Gary Oldman could do it. Like he looks like David in Book of Eli. He just doesn't have the facial hair. All right, so guys, I've blabbed enough. But if you haven't seen Book of Eli, I would say rent that. I feel like such an idiot for not going back, or just like okay, it's just one of those things. Like, oh, my favorite actor in the world. I slept through the fucking movie, and I didn't really. And then my boss at the time told me about the ending, and I was like, oh, that's what it was? It's something didn't register for me to go back and look at it. So that was just a lapse in judgment for me. Let me give you some dates, and I'll get out of here. Upcoming shows. February 7th, I'll be at Gotham Comedy Club at 10:30 p.m. in the Vintage Lounge. February 13th, big show, the 10x10 Upstreet Arts Festival. I'll be at the Whitney Center for the Arts in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. at 8 o'clock p.m. That's February 13th. February 18th, I'll be at Bar 2A in New York City. February 27th, I'll be at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City. And I'll be at the Passenger Bar on March 3rd in Brooklyn, New York at 9 p.m. So I'll be there. There's more dates to come. And if any of them come in between, you'll know about it and I'll tweet about it. That's the end of the show for the week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I appreciate you, and I'll talk to you next time. Peace.